Hi, and welcome to Last Man Standing here with me, Paul Stevenson, on Republic Broadcasting Network. On this 7th of April, 2024, before I go any further, please remember to donate to the cause, the network and the cause, where we have total freedom of speech, unlike most networks, so to keep us on the air. Please do donate. You can do that by credit card, debit card on 512-246-9549 extension 3, or on toll free 800-724-2719 extension 3. You can also mail in checks, cash, money orders to RBN, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. And you can click on the yellow donate button for the various options, which again include a credit and debit card, and also the option to donate by PayPal. Okay, delighted to say I'm joined by Patrick Slattery today. We won't, unfortunately, have the lines open today, but we'll probably get back to that next week. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Pleasure as always.
Hey, I have a question, and this is maybe not a fun question for the audience, but your Sunday show, does this have the same commercial interludes as the regular ones, or is it different?
The same what, sorry?
The same timing for the commercials. Like, does it have three commercial breaks like the regular shows?
You know, I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
I can find out for you.
Yeah. Anyway, this is the type of thing that our audience needs to know. We have to struggle with this, thinking about commercial breaks and whatnot, so that the network can get paid. Because it does have advertisers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, indeed.
Well, okay.
Because we can't run on fresh air.
Can't run on fresh air. You could run on sunshine, except we're going to have a little shortage of sunshine on Monday because of the eclipse, or the monster eating the sun, or whatever it is.
Tell me about it. Elaborate. I'm all ears.
Well, so every now and then the moon's shadow passes over parts of the Earth, and Earth's shadow is going to pass over a big swath of the United States, from Vermont or so, down all the way through the Midwest and into Texas. San Antonio, I think, is going to be in the shadow. Indianapolis is going to be in the shadow. Sandusky, Ohio, will be in the shadow. Niagara Falls will be in the shadow. And so for two or three minutes, depending on where you are, the sunlight will be completely blocked out. And if you have the proper kind of filter, you can look and see just the corona of the sun, which should be dazzling. Usually you wouldn't be able to see it because there'd be so much light from the rest of the sun that you can't see the corona, but you will be able to see the corona. Of course, things like this get people wondering, could this be an inside job? I'm not sure exactly what that means, but
please.
There are people, or that they will use the opportunity of two or three minutes of total darkness in parts of the United States to, I don't know, launch biological weapons and... NASA.
Well, the obvious counter to that is they've got an opportunity to do that every night. It's dark every night.
Oh yeah. Yeah, but they haven't. Don't remind them. I don't know. NASA will launch a couple of little rockets so that they can observe the corona. I don't know. This is the type of thing that happens. There are people who, but it okay. So this is happening on the 8th. Now,
perhaps perhaps the shadow over the United States is portends to some. Perhaps it's some sort of cosmic portent. Is that the right word?
Portent
or whatever of things to come.
If you put the emphasis on the second syllable, you may not be correct, but you'll sound a lot more posh. Right.
So. Yeah. Well, sometimes you guys over there in the U.S. Pronounce certain things in different ways. So the emphasis is often. For example, the word I've noticed this in America. Anyone talking in the United States, you know, if they're talking about dominance and refer to the word, they say hegemony. Whereas I say, and over here we say hegemon. In fact, I heard. Alexander McCurris, he's got sort of very unique on this. He said, not very unique, it can't be very unique, it's unique. Hegemony. It's like, Alexander, I'm not sure about that, mate. You know what I mean? It's either hegemony or hegemon, mate. But anyway, portent.
Well, he's Greek, and it's a Greek word, so
No excuse. His wife is an English literature professor.
Okay.
Anyway, portent.
There's a great deal of controversy over it.
Oh, another one. We say controversy.
Do you?
Yeah, controversy, not controversy.
Who says controversy?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we say controversy.
Oh, well. Yeah, okay.
Anyway, it's interesting.
Yeah. A lot of people don't like Churchill, but he did remark that the American and British people are what are they? Two people divided by a
two countries divided by a common language.
Divided by a common language. Yeah, there you go. All right, pretty good.
Although I thought that was I thought that was what's his name said that.
If it's not Winston Churchill, it's got to be Mark Twain, because they're the only two people who ever said anything memorable.
Yeah, no, I think it was one of the poets, I thought, that said that from an Irish poet.
Oscar Wilde.
I thought it was him who said that. But anyway, I'm causing digressions here at every other phrase. Okay, so. This has caused controversy, has it?
Yeah. Hey, I have a question. When's Passover?
I have no idea. If you've got any Christian Zionists around you, they'll be able to tell you. They keep all those. I think there's a lot of Christians these days who, you know, adhere to all those Jewish festivals and stuff. And they have the little, the candles. It looks like a candle holder. The menorah, but yes.
Yeah, menorah.
No disrespect, okay. Anywhere.
Well, I just looked it up and said Passover. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, Passover starting April 22nd. But I was asking because, April 8th is the eclipse, and it may be like April 9th or April 10th for whatever reason, these Jews in Israel want to slaughter a red cow in order to destroy the world.
Well,
bring on the end of times, Armageddon.
Well, they need a temple, though. Where are they going to sacrifice this red heifer? Because this goes back to certain. I think it goes back to, you know, Leviticus and or around that time or. You know, when they were given very detailed instructions about, you know, how they should and what animals they should sacrifice. And maybe it's later than Leviticus, but and the problem is they don't have a temple. So what's the point in having a red heifer? These people get very excited about these things, but they've got to have a temple to sacrifice it in.
I think they have a prefab temple, kind of so there was a there's on Long Island, there's a town called Levittown, which was built in the 1950s, but it was all like with prefabricated walls and things, and they were able to just slap up real fast. So I don't know, maybe they've got a trailer or something that they're going to bring in.
That won't do. There's like, if you look at the instructions in the Old Testament, they were given specific instructions of how to build it and how not to build it and what God would tolerate and what he wouldn't tolerate.
Well, here's the thing. I have listened. I didn't read it because I've got better things to waste my eyesight on, but I did listen to it while walking my dogs, and it was really, really boring. Really tedious. But you know, this is all like these instructions for building the temple, or what are they? Is it 27 centuries old? This is old technology. And to think that the Israelis might not be able to, and especially, remember, they've got all these Talmudic rabbis who can twist things. They can twist.
But there was also a theological, there was a spiritual, this is what modern Christians and certainly, you know, rabbinical Jews don't get. All these things, all these tedious, and you're right. I mean, I've read the book of Leviticus. It nearly killed me from boredom. But they were all designed to pertain to spiritual fulfillment. And so this was very sacred. And so God was basically saying, This is a what's the word I'm looking for? This is an operation which has been directed by God himself. Don't get your little, you know, human ideas around it. This has to be done this way because it's like pertains to the church. And so that's why you see later in the New Testament where Christ is the temple, and you know, Christ was the you know, the ultimate sacrifice, for example. So this is why there's no temple needed. And if you're a Christian, you believe that, you know, Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. These other things were pretending to, they were prerequisites to the ultimate sacrifice. And then the temple was destroyed as a judgment. So this whole nonsense, Christian supporting this is actually hereditary, heretical. You know, it's like if you're a Christian, now if you're not a Christian, then you're not guilty of this, but if you're a Christian and you believe in you know, fundamental tenets of basic Christianity, then you believe that God destroyed the temple as a judgment on the Jews for killing Christ. And then they want to support rebuilding with a bunch of Jews who are in rebellion against Christianity. I mean, it really is insanity. Anyway, sorry, I digress again.
Well, no, that's kind of the whole point. So April 8th, I mean, the eclipses come, and people have been able to predict eclipses. Some people have been able to for millennia. The Greeks were able to predict eclipses. There is a book by Mark Twain. I mentioned him earlier. Mark Twain was a famous American writer, and he had a book called A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court. And the Connecticut Yankee somehow fell asleep somewhere and woke up in near King Arthur's court. Well, that's a long time ago.
It's not far from me here, by the way, Patrick. It's not far from me, King Arthur's court. And in fact, I applied for a job at King Arthur's court earlier today, believe it or not.
Did you?
Yes, indeed. They were advertising for a gardener at Hampton Court Palace. So I thought, why not?
That would be awesome.
Now, yeah, it's a beautiful place.
To the extent he was mythological, King Arthur was Celtic, wasn't he? He wasn't Germanic. He wasn't English. He was British in that he was pre-English Celtic, right?
Yeah, I think it goes back so far that I don't even think what we have today is like, you know, the UK. I don't even think the nations had quite sort of formed at that stage. You know, it was still in the developmental stage. It was all a bunch of little kingdoms, I think. I'm not an expert on King Arthur.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm not either. But in the book, And I don't know if Mark Twain was either, even, but in the book, so this guy, he's somehow is courting, trying to court favor with King Arthur. I think Merlin the magician was giving him a hassle, and he was about to be executed, but he just so happened to remember, because he knew a thing or two about astronomy, that today was the day that there was going to be a total eclipse of the sun. Just happened to be. And so he said, if you execute me, I'm going to blot out the sun. And so he was able to do that in order to gain advantage. It was a long time since I read that story. Somebody probably knows that what I'm saying is complete bollocks, but it was something. And people,
that's a very British and Irish word, Patrick, for you to be using.
I know. Well, you see, I learned bollocks from the Sex Pistols. So I used to listen to a lot of British rock and punk music. And then I've watched a lot of sitcoms like Are You Being Served and Blackadder and Monty Python and whatnot. So
I have to say, it's a word that.
And he has a very unique pronunciation of it. And it's caused a bit of controversy, but it's good when he says it. I'll say that much. It's good when he says it. I'll say the bollocks.
Yeah, bollocks. Yeah. It's like you quite often say, "Oh, bollocks to him, bollocks to it." Yeah, it's a strange little word.
Yeah. Well, okay. I guess this is two things here. One is that the total eclipse is, they don't happen very often for the sun. The moon, you get these lunar. The thing about the, well, they probably happen, a lunar eclipse and a solar eclipse happens about at the same frequency. But the thing is, the lunar eclipse is visible from anybody who can see the moon, because it's the Earth's shadow on the moon. And if you can see the moon, then you can see, you can see the shadow. With a solar eclipse, it's the moon's shadow on the Earth. And because the moon is much smaller, the shadow is pretty tiny. And so even though they happen with more or less similar frequency, the moon, the actually being in the shadow, which is the cool thing, doesn't happen very often.
It goes dark during the day, basically, for a short period of time.
It goes dark during the day. And I've been in maybe three eclipses. I've never been
excited by them.
I do, because I like astronomy. But I've been in partial eclipses, and partial eclipses are no big deal. It can be like 95%. You can be 95% eclipse, and you think, oh, well, that's pretty good. No, it's not, because 5% of the sunlight, if you got 5% of the sunlight coming in, it's just like twilight. It's no big deal.
It's like not closing your curtains properly. You got to close them properly, really.
Exactly. You knock out, because the sunlight is really, really bright. And all you do, if you have 5% of the sunlight coming through, your eyes dilate and you bring in a lot more light and you still see everything. So it's no big deal. When I was a kid, have you ever heard the Carly Simon song, You're So Vain?
Yeah.
From 1972. And Mick Jagger.
You're so vain. I bet you think the song is about you, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I heard you went up to Saratoga and your horse naturally won. Then you flew your winnings to Nova Scotia to see the total eclipse of the sun. Learjet. It was your Learjet. I didn't know what a Learjet was. Okay, so they were mocking me with that song, because in 1972, I was in Nova Scotia the day they had the total eclipse of the sun. And we were on a camp trip with my dad and my mom and my brother and my sister and my dog. our little puppy dog. And so the night before the eclipse.
So that's what happened to you then, basically, Patrick.
Yeah. That's what happened to me. We were staying at this inn in Nova Scotia, and because it was supposedly a camping trip. We only camped a few nights. So the inn was run by these two women, and they had a dog, and we had a puppy dog about five months old. And they went out running in the fields together, which probably wasn't a good idea in the first place. But at any rate, then the big dog came back and our dog didn't come back. So where's our dog? So we're running all over the place all evening, calling out for the dog. And of course, the dog didn't have a name because my brother wanted the perfect name. And every time somebody thought of a perfect name, well, he wanted to be the one to think of the perfect name. So the dog didn't have a name. So we're running around calling out for a dog that didn't have a name. And then couldn't find it, go back. The next morning, my mom goes out looking for it in the morning and heard some yipping, and it had fallen down a well. And my dad was so angry that we had been running around all night looking for a dog, and they hadn't told us that there was an abandoned well. And he also thought that these two women were actually prostitutes and that the inn was a brothel. And I don't know if he was just paranoid or what, but at any rate, he just wanted to get the hell out of there and get the hell out of Canada. So we got in our 1957 Mercedes and we drove, and this is 1972. It wasn't a new car, but and we drove across New Brunswick and got to Maine just as the eclipse was coming. Well, it was no big deal because it was not in the totality. So that was bad enough. And then a couple of months later, Carly Simon comes out with this song, and it's its number one hit. It's all over the radio talking about the total eclipse of the sun. And I was a big astronomy freak, and we missed it. I've been waiting 52 years for another eclipse. And
wasn't there one quite recently? Because I think I remember people getting quite excited over here. Wasn't there one maybe 2018 or 19 or something?
There was, and for I wasn't able to go to the totality, so. But this time I got my Learjet, and I'm going to fly my Learjet to Sandusky, Ohio, for the total eclipse of the sun.
Right, you're gonna go there, are you?
Oh yeah. You're okay. Where you should be all the time, and when you're not, you're with some underworld spy or the wife of a close friend.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, where are we going with all this?
Okay, this is where we're going. So we're, one thing is that a lot of stuff is on the verge of possibly happening. Ukraine's on the verge of possibly collapsing. Israel is on the verge of maybe desecrating the Al-Aqsa Mosque. The Muslim countries don't like it. We are literally, like, World War III could happen anytime. Andrew Anglin had a good headline on the Daily Stormer. It's something like Jews plan to kill red cow in order to end the world, or something like that. And I'm wondering, apocalypse now, Zio-pocalypse now, I don't know. So that's one thing. There's all this stuff going on. The other thing is that, and this is something that is more serious, and how can you get more serious than possibly World War III? That's pretty serious. But I think that, you know, we have a lot of listeners at RBN who sometimes call up, and they have rather odd ideas, I think. Rather odd ideas about conspiracies to cause earthquakes, or I've had people call up saying the earth is flat and things like that. And I think I know where this comes from. Do you want my theory of where this comes from?
Go ahead.
Okay. So if back in like pre-civilization days, when we were hunter-gatherers, everything that there was to know, you were going to learn from, you know, the elder of your little tribal band. And people, if you were in, say, ancient Greek times, they knew a lot. There was a lot that they knew, But if you were a smart guy and you went to Pythagoras's school, or, you know, Aristotle, or followed him, you knew you could learn what there was to know. And probably I've heard it said that up until about the Enlightenment, that if you were a top person, you were a Newton, you're a Benjamin Franklin, you're somebody who is pretty much at the top, you could grasp more or less all the scientific knowledge that was known if you set your mind to it. And you think about people like Franklin and Newton. These weren't even full-time scientists, right? I mean, Newton ran the British Mint. Franklin ran the American Post Office. These were people who were doing science as a side job, even. Mm. But now, the level of science and technology has just gone so far. So we have these things like the cell phone, for instance. It's just so complicated. The chips are produced with, you know, every molecule has to be in the right place. The technology and the science behind what surrounds us is way more than, it's not just that any one person can't know it all, that very, very few people can even be at the forefront of one narrow field of science.
Yeah, I think we've got to a point now where it's almost sort of alchemy. You know, it's like, I mean, take for example, just even from a military point of view, those new Zircon hypersonic missiles of Russia's, that one that hit the Ukrainian intelligence services in Kiev, it was launched from the Black Sea, which I think is 700 kilometers from Kiev, and it made that journey in 6 minutes.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, it's amazing. So the thing is, once upon a time, maybe a couple hundred years ago, even in my childhood, I remember messing around with telephones. There was an old phone that I guess my brother found in the trash or something. And we could take it apart. We could spin it around and make electrical impulses and things like that with the dial. It had a dial. Or actually, it had a crank on it. It was that old. But in our lifetimes, things have gotten so advanced and so complicated. And so now, actually really understanding science and the science and the technology of a lot of things, it's you could spend your whole life on it and never get there. And so
yeah, I still haven't gotten past the fax machine.
Fax machines, yeah. Well,
anyway, go ahead. You said you could spend your whole life trying about it.
And so the thing is, we've gotten to the point where rather than understanding, We've gotten to the point where you have to have faith in experts. You have to say, well, okay, so-and-so understands it, and he says this, so I believe it.
Thank you.
understanding, we've gotten to the point where you have to have faith in experts. You have to say, well, okay, so-and-so understands it, and he says this, so I believe it. So we're there, okay? Which might have been okay 50, 60 years ago. You know, people would say, okay, well, you know, Einstein says such and such about relativity, or Max Planck says such and such, and so we'll just accept it. But especially in recent years, but for a while, but especially in recent years, the people who are designated experts have cooperated with on hoaxes. You know, the coronavirus thing, I think, to a lot of people, pushed them over the edge, because
think it did waken a lot of people up. Yeah,
and so the authority has been abused. The expertise has been abused by authority, and so now who do you trust? Well, you just trust whoever you feel like it. Yeah. And then there's these people who shouldn't be trusted because they're charlatans, or shouldn't be trusted because they don't have any expertise in the first place. But how do you know?
Well, there's a lot of those around. There's a lot of people who talk a lot of nonsense about a lot of things, and they talk as if they've got authority. And it's I find it quite tragic that a lot of people just follow these people. They don't actually do any thinking. I've met a lot of these types of people, and it's sort of like a lot of new agey types, occulty type women who get followings and get very, self-bloated in their egos, and they're just talking absolute mumble jumble. The amount of people that believe some of this stuff is incredible. A lot of these ideas, and there's a lot of false prophets out there, you could say, and false teachers, and people who talk as if they know what they're talking about. It's just all nonsense, but they make good money out of it, you know, out of gullible people.
You can make a lot of money out of it. Now, here's another complicating factor. What might have constituted rock solid evidence of something a generation or two ago, nowadays, how can you tell? So there's a well-known black and white photograph of Stalin walking along the Moscow River with three of his comrades. One of them was it Bukharin. One of them, in later editions of that photograph, had been removed from the photograph through what at the time might have been
Photoshop or high tech,
in 1938 would have been considered pretty high tech. So he was somehow painted out of the photograph, and then that was a photograph that would be printed in newspapers. But you know, there it used to be a picture's worth a thousand words, and you know, pictures don't lie or whatever. And then
Now you've got this AI, which is taking it to a whole new level.
Right. And so now you've got like AI and not Britney Spears. Who's the big famous pop singer? Taylor Swift?
Taylor Swift, yeah.
So they're able to, I guess, like able to make Taylor Swift do things that are somewhat unnatural or out of character.
Well, they can make her write, actually make her write good songs, you said?
Yeah, is that unnatural for her? I don't know. I don't know any Taylor Swift songs, so I can't pass judgment one way or the other. But so now you can. I've seen these deep fakes. I saw one where Putin. This was even like 5 or 6 years ago, and I know it's gotten a lot better since then. But Putin is sitting behind the desk, and he's speaking and speaking and speaking. And then they stop with the program, and you see it's just some guy. And he's smiling, waving at you, because he's not Putin anymore. But he was Putin just earlier. I've heard the some funny stuff where they can take people's voices. Everybody's probably heard this. You can sample somebody's voice, and then the AI program knows how this voice intonates various sounds.
There's no doubt about it. I have heard there was a band. They're called, this is like just in music. They're a band called Noasis, and they're a kind of a tribute band to Oasis using AI. So they've got all these songs. Now the songs, apparently the guys have written themselves, and you know, they have like mastered the art of writing songs, new songs that were around that sort of period of Oasis in 95, 96, but they have AI'd Liam Gallagher's voice, and it is uncanny. So now they can get an actor there who can do the certain mannerisms and, you know, certain face, you know, or certain gestures and stuff, and then they can superimpose someone's voice and superimpose the face over it, and you think for all intents and purposes that's Vladimir Putin speaking. Or there's a big controversy over here about whether Kate Middleton, Prince William's wife, the video that she, because there's been all these conspiracies because she's sort of disappeared for about 3 months, about what's happened to her and where is she and what's wrong with her. And then she came out and did a video and said that she had cancer. But I've seen a video since, which has, you know, put forth the notion that this is AI, and it's quite convincing because, you know, it the way it's done, it could quite easily be AI. So people are now saying, oh, Kate Middleton's dead, and this is their desperate attempt to, you know, cover it up. But it's quite scary because, like you said, they can take all the nuances from your voice and all this information, and then they can just kind of like, you know, they can recreate you. They can, and you know, and so they could take a set. They have a sample base. So say they could listen to my radio show. They'd figure out the way I talk and the way I say certain things and my accent and certain emphasis and certain words. When I, you know, maybe when I get excited, maybe when I'm not so excited, maybe when I'm angry, maybe when I'm bored. And they can take it all in and they can just like sort of put it all in into the algorithms, and they can say what they want and make it sound like it's you.
So, and this is all potentially extremely destabilizing. And it's so. You have the one phenomenon I was talking about where science and technology has developed far beyond any given person's ability to have a grasp on it, on its totality. And very few people have the ability to grasp any narrow field of it to the edge. So you've got that where people have to rely on faith in experts. And then, well, okay, if you can rely, if authority tells you what experts you can rely on, fine, then most people are going to rely on those experts and society will move forward. But the authorities in our society have completely squandered any credibility through multiple hoaxes.
Yeah, the social contract in this regard has been broken.
Yeah, and so how can you blame anybody for not having faith in authority? Because they've squandered. And it was, and for what? You know, what were they planning on getting out of a fake election or the vaccine mandate? Really, what were they planning on getting at? What was worth it? What they've squandered is just enormous. And then, of course, when you add to that the potential for faking evidence, what evidence is even believable about things nowadays?
Because, and then of course, you know, you this is very, very, you know, prevalent when it comes to propaganda with the wars, for example, because you just don't know what's real, what's not, you know, who's telling the truth, you know, who's you know, lying about everything. You know, it's really, really difficult because you can't even really trust video footage anymore.
No, I mean, there, people have tried to fake things for a long time, and I, you know, even for AI, I can remember once when I was running a little website, and I put up a video which I thought was some sort of Israeli strike on Gaza. It was this 2008, 2009. And what it was it was a bombing of Baghdad from 4 or 5 years earlier. And
yeah, and but even that, they've always been able to do that type of stuff. But I'm talking about, So it's just an added sort of confusion, really.
Yeah. But so it's, you know, it's so destabilizing. And here's something. Some people talk about AI.
Well, the reason it's destabilizing is because now you're into the blurring of reality itself.
Yeah.
You know, and once that happens, well, I mean, you know, just chaos ensues, and you know, the implications of it are huge, and I think you're already seeing that. You know, I mean, this is why you get people coming up with all manner of like very, very, in my opinion, wacky ideas. But it's like, you know, when you create this kind of environment, it's like fair game for wacky ideas. You know.
Yes, it is fair game for wacky ideas, and you're gonna get them. And, you know, wacky ideas, I don't know. I know that there's people out there who like Andrew Kaufman, who's the virus don't exist guy. And Andrew Kaufman can talk about, like, the medical industry and say how much money there is in vaccines, how much money there is in such and such, which is all true. There's a huge, enormous amount of money in all sorts of traditional, when I say traditional medicine, you know, modern medicine, corporate medicine. That's all true. But if you're one entrepreneur and you're Andrew Kaufman or you're who was his sidekick? I can't remember his sidekick. Some non-Jewish guy who sells what does he sell? He sells structured water. Who is that guy? And Andrew Kaufman sells these self-help books. Well, you can make a pretty good, decent money doing that. And so there's still money in that. There is money in conspiracy theory too. There is money in it.
The charitization of society.
There's the only thing there's not money in is bitching and moaning about the Jews. There's no money in that. I have found that.
Yeah, no, it's not a lucrative industry.
It is not a lucrative industry. So, Andy Hitchcock always starts his shows with that quote: "To find out who rules you, all you need to know is who you're not allowed to criticize." And I guess, like, to
Voltaire.
To find out what's real, all you need to know is what you can't get paid to talk about.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I suppose we have the benefit of remaining somewhat stable and in a world of sanity
for however long it lasts.
Yeah.
You wonder how sustainable this is. how long can it go on? And so people worry about AI and they worry about the computers taking over. Do you worry about that?
No, but the thing is, I don't really know enough about AI to know the implications of it. I mean, I think militarily, you know, for example, the Russians are employing the new thing, which is about to hit the Ukrainians, is a swarm of AI drones and robotic type things, sort of like Terminator-esque. I mean, I don't really know enough about AI to know the implications properly of it. No doubt when you have this kind of technology, you know, it'll be abused, of course, for the usual things, for power and control. Whereas I'm sure it probably, you know, has the ability to do all sorts of things, like, who knows, maybe cure cancer or something. I don't know what it can do. Of course, there'll be people out there who say cancer doesn't exist. Then we're back to what we were talking about before.
Could realize that maybe if they are AI and they're on the computer side, then why would you want to cure cancer? Because it doesn't hit computers. So, you know, with the AI right now, so much of it is in information. So much of it is in, you know, manipulating images or web search, internet searches and things like that, writing papers. It's in information. Less of it is in production. Now, you mentioned these drones. And so, like, right now, no matter what happens, no matter where AI is right now, I think right now, if the fecal matter hit the ventilation device, the Luddites could still go out and smash the machines. Right now, I think the Luddites can still smash the machines. maybe the critical juncture is when the drones can smash the Luddites, and the drones can be sent out independently of humans. And if you get to that point where you've got robot killer robots and drones and things like that, that are the computers and the machines are capable of drilling for oil or obtaining their own energy, their own sustenance of smelting aluminum and steel and doing what they need for themselves and no longer need humans.
So just to come back around, when you were talking at the start about the eclipse and that, you think it's kind of maybe some sort of cosmic alignment to some of the more earthly tensions that are existing today in Israel and the Middle East and with Russia and Ukraine. I mean, I noticed that the French have contacted the Russians to try and, you know, both. Well, I think ultimately they were trying to get Russia to freeze the conflict, and Russia sort of told them to do one, you know. They wanted to go back to the 2022. It's a bit like your wife divorces you when she's with some other guy, and she's very happy about that because she thinks she's going to be very happy. And then 2 years later, she's like, I don't suppose we could have that conversation you wanted to have before we got divorced. I'm ready now, you know. It's just like, well, sorry, things have changed, you know. You left me for 2 years, but they have the temerity to want to go back to 2 years, you know, to 2 years ago. And then on the same day, I think you had Anthony Blinken saying that, you know, that Ukraine would join NATO, you know, just like madness, you know. So, I mean, are you suggesting that maybe these cosmic events are reflecting some big event? Because I genuinely do worry about where we're at the minute. The powers that be, they just seem to have. And even the people seem to have lost their fear of nuclear war. And it's possible that they may even have this kind of thing planned, or certainly as a plan B if they don't get their own way in the Middle East with the Zionists and with Russia. Again, a lot of these people, of course, have got big underground complexes which they can disappear to, you know?
Well, I don't think the eclipse has anything to do with anything other than it's just, you know, an astrological event. And I am going to fly my Learjet to Sandusky and then I'm going to mock Carly Simon in a song.
Can you fly by London and pick me up? Yeah.
So, but there's, you know, there is so much stuff that potentially can happen. And at some point, a lot of stuff is going to happen. And there will be people who will connect it to whatever completely unrelated event happened to happen at the same time, whether it's this eclipse, whether it is an earthquake, you know, somewhere, whether it is whatever. It's because there's always stuff going on.
Well, there's always been that. It's been part of the human history for people to do those sorts of things.
Yeah.
You know, Christians have been predicting the end of the world since time began, you know, or not since time began, but since the time of Christ. You know, there's all sorts of, you know, events that occur that they see this is the sign of, you know, the end of the world and the second coming of Christ. You could go through the list of examples in every century, and they're still doing it today, you know.
still doing. I don't feel like betting against them right now, though. I don't know you that much. Things are pretty bad. But yeah.
I mean, they are. But I still don't think it's going to be the end of the world or that Christ is coming back in anytime soon. You know, but.
Despite the best efforts of these Jews and their red cow and their prefab temple.
Yeah, you know, there's been times before where they have tried to rebuild that temple, and there has been some very strange events which have been, I don't know, rightly or wrongly by Christians attributed to the supernatural intervention, where things have went badly wrong and people have died trying to build this temple and things like that. And there's been a couple of times we've tried to rebuild the temple, and there's been all sorts of strange things that have occurred on said building site.
Okay. Well, given that I'm not sure when the commercials are supposed to go in here,
we're out of time.
We're out of time. Yeah.
Yeah, we've done this. We've been talking for 52 minutes, so the commercials will certainly take up the other sort of 6-7 minutes.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining me, Patrick, and I'll be back again next week. And until then, everyone, take care and God bless, and stay as sane as you can.